Ladies, welcome. We're learning Tehillim. This is a project that we started last year, Le'ilu Nishmat Tzadeket, Mrs. Lily Medda Ba'alei HaShalom. Lily Le'abad Virgene. Ruach Adonai Tenihena B'Gan Eden. Amen. It's a project that was spearheaded by her son, and he commissioned me to teach the Tehillim one chapter at a time, as best as we can, to say some Hiddushim and to have her in mind. So far, we're keeping our commitment. And Be'ezat Hashem, we should continue in good health. Amen. So today we're at chapter Mem He. We do one chapter a week. It's 45. If you have the books, it'd be a great benefit. This chapter over here, like all the chapters of the Tehillim, teaches us a lot of lessons. Unlimited lessons. We cannot pluck out every lesson. We try to grab a few of them that are practical, learn the Pesukim correctly, and then we move on. This chapter has a surprise in the beginning. Two surprises, actually. Lamnaseach al Shoshanim libne Korah. Well, the first surprise is that this chapter, again, was authored by the children of Korah. Remember Korah, his children, it seemed, were musicians and they were poets, however you want to call them. And they wrote a lot of the chapters in the Tehillim. So this is another one, Ibn Korah. But it calls the chapter, it's the song of the Shoshanim. Lam Naseach al Shoshanim. Now this is the first time this happens. So what is Shoshanim? So if we want to explain it on a simple level, it's the name of an instrument. Every chapter of Tehillim, they used a different instrument that they felt was suitable to play the musical accompaniment to the chapter. I cannot explain you why they chose a shoshanim over a trumpet or a flute or a banjo, but that's what they chose. And I cannot even tell you what the shoshanim is. One of the ladies in the class showed me a book last week that she brought that has the pictures of all the instruments. If she comes, we'll ask her to show it to us, and then you'll know what Shoshanim is. I don't know if it's going to make you a better person or not, but at least you'll know what the instrument is. That's the simple explanation. But Shoshanim, in the Hebrew that we're used to, a Shoshana is a rose. So this is the Mizmor of the Roses. The Song of the Roses, Al HaShoshanim. The question that I obviously had was, what does the children of Korah and roses have to do in common? For that matter, if anybody would have sang the song, I would have asked the same question. What does anybody, any tzaddik that's singing a song, you wouldn't expect them to sing a song about roses. Not Mother's Day, so what are they talking about? Shoshanim over here. And the name of the chapter is referred to as Maskil. Shir 45. Shir Yedidot. What is a Shir Yedidot? Shir Yedidot. So we're going to have to read the Rashi. We have no choice. Rashi says, Al HaShoshanim, Lichbod Talmidei Chachamim Yisidu Hashir Hazeh. So this chapter was written in honor of Talmidei Chachamim, in honor of the rabbis. Okay, beautiful, I'm not against it. So what do the rabbis have to do with roses? So Rashi says, Shehem Rakim Keshoshanim. They're soft, they're mellow, like the Shoshanim, like the roses, the petals are soft. V'naim Keshoshanim. Na'im means they have the proper Na'im, they're nice. This is not referring to the beauty of the Hachamim, it's referring to their ways. Na'im ma'asehem, the decorum is nice, like the beautiful rose. Umartivim ma'asim tovim keshoshanim. And just like the rose has a beautiful smell that it gives off, so to the Talmidei Chachamim with their good deeds and their good actions, they exude a great aromatic fragrance outside. Unbelievable. So B'nei Korach are giving a tribute to Talmidei Chachamim, and they're saying, our rabbis are like Shoshanim. And it's called Shir Yedidot, the song of affection. Yedid, Yedid is a friend, Yedidut is affection. That she says, Shir Ahavim. Shir Ahavim, the song that endears, that brings love. Shir Shel Shevach Lahim. The children of Korach say, we're singing a song of praise about the Talmidei Chachamim. To endear them on the people. Which means all of a sudden B'nei Korach had an idea. They had a plan to make the rabbis beloved amongst the people. So they said, we're going to dedicate a chapter to talk about Shoshanim with the intention that it should be Shir Yedidot. Leha'ahibam ala b'riyot. Ulha'ahiv toratam alehem. And when the people should know that the Torah of the Chachamim are also beautiful. So they wanted to make the rabbis beloved to the people, because not all the people love the rabbis. So B'nei Korach had a mission. We're going to do Shir Yedidot. And not only are they going to love the rabbis, but we're going to show them how the Torah of the rabbis are so beautiful as well. And my question was, why did the children of Korach take on this, don't get me wrong, very important mission? Why did they take on? Why did they take on this very important mission to speak about the praise of the rabbis? Well, you could probably take a guess. We learned actually in the daf you meet today. I'm sure most of you ladies didn't do the daf yet, but when you get around to it. In today's daf, it talks about one of the ways of making teshuvah. And one of the highest ways of making teshuvah is called teshuvat ha-mishkal. Teshuvat ha-mishkal means that a person should try to fix exactly what he broke to do the opposite. So therefore, you're rectifying the sin. It's teshuvat ha-mishkal. That if you committed a sin, let's say in speech, so therefore you fix the sin by using your speech for something that's positive. So you balance it off. So the children of Korach were part of their father's scheme. It's more a scheme. It was a mutiny. It was a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon. It wasn't only that they went against Moshe and Aharon, they belittled them. Korach got up and he was an actor. And he put on a skit or a theater in front of the people showing about Miskina, a little lady, old lady, that all she had was a small field that she inherited from her husband. And she would live from the field. And all of a sudden, he puts like Aharon coming to her and say, hold it, you have to give me Tiruma and Maaser and all the different... And she said to herself, I can't even live over here, and this guy's coming and taking all these taxes. Korach wanted to make like Aharon is money hungry. And then Miskena, she says, I cannot get away from this Aharon over here. So she came along and she sold the field, and she bought an animal. And Aharon came along and said, oh, the animal, I get the shearings. The shearings belong to me. He said, even this guy, I can't even get away from the guy now. He's taking my shearings. So she said, well, I'm going to make shechita, and at least let me eat it. Once she made shechita, Aharon said, well, I get the top pieces of meat. It comes to the Kohen also. She said, you know something? If I'm not going to benefit, I don't want anybody to benefit. It's Kodesh. Kodesh, I get the whole thing. He took everything. So therefore, of course, it's not true. First of all, there was no Tirumot and Ma'asrot in the Midbar. They were in the desert. They didn't have fields. The whole thing was to make fun. Initially, the children of Korach were with their father. They had no choice. They were in a pickle, as we call it. They love Moshe, he's the rabbi, but their father, Kibud Av. So they were caught in a bad place. Initially, they went with their father. So they were involved in making fun of Moshe, making fun of Aharon, to the extent that they were saying to Moshe, you're a megalomaniac. That's a $10 word. Megalomaniac means you're running after kavod. You want to be the leader. You want your brother to be the Kohen Gadol. You people are power hungry, which obviously is the furthest thing from the truth. How ironic. You tell the most humble man that ever lived that he's power hungry. I mean, it's ridiculous. But as we know from today, you say it enough times, it sticks. So therefore they repeated it, they made a drama out of it, they made a narrative. And before you know it, he has 250 men that are with him and that are fighting against Moshe and Aaron, and the children of Korach were there. And then when the ground opened up, the children of Korach deserved to fall into that sinkhole, whatever you want to call it, the pit. And they did fall in. They did fall in. And as they were falling in, at the last moment, they made teshuvah. Now, I know you're going to ask me a question, and I had the same question. How in the world could you make teshuvah when you're falling into a sinkhole? What did they see? Do it? Anna Hashem Elokeinu, they're making vidui as they're falling. They had their little tehillim book. How did they make vidui when you fall? It's hard enough to make vidui in shul when everything is normal, when you're standing on normal ground, let alone when you're falling into the abyss and you're making teshuvah. So the Hakamim come along and say that they made teshuvah in their minds, which is a concept. Teshuvah does not have to be necessarily banging your fist against your heart and verbally saying, Hatati abiti pashati, although that's beautiful teshuvah, don't get me wrong. But teshuvah can be done in the brain. And if a person comes along mentally, comes along and says, let's say, Bar Minan, somebody's in sakana, like the children of Korah. So the most they were able to do was to think in their brains, wow, we made a mistake. Wow, what did we do? What did we do? You see, Korach, the father, didn't even do that. Korach, as he was sinking in the free fall, he was screaming at Moshe, you good for nothing. He's still screaming at him. Okay, nothing happened to Korach. He fell down. But the children of Korach, they realized their mistake. That's why, if you look at the next pasuk of the chapter, I'm jumping for a minute, Rahash libi davar tov. Rahash libi. In my heart, I pondered davar tov, a good thing. And our rabbis tell us that if a person has a good thought, God will consider it as if you did an action. That's why the end of the pasuk says, Omer ani, when I say something, ma'asai lamelech. Sometimes my thoughts or my words can be considered like a ma'aseh, meaning like an action, when I'm unable to do it. So in this case over here, the thoughts of teshuvah, of the children of Korach, God considered it as if they made a verbal teshuvah with a ma'aseh. So I read the pasuk again. Rahash libi davar tov. By the way, I'm reading the pirush over here. Amru zal, shehayu b'nei Korach mehadhirim b'tshuvah. So what happened when they started to make teshuvah? Behirhur. V'nitbatsir lahim makom b'gehinam. Borei Olam made like a ledge that came out of the pit. And they jumped on the ledge. V'omrim shiran, they started to sing a song. I never knew what song they sang. This is the song. They sang chapter mem here. It's a good trivia question. Somebody asked you today, Rabbi, Rebbe said, what song did the children of Korach sing when they fell down into the pit and they got saved? Chapter Mem here. That's what he sang. Rahash libi davar, davar ma shehirharti b'tshuvah, what I thought in my teshuvah, nestarep the ma'aseh. Shani omer shira b'ma shani omer ma'asai lamelech. Fine. So now it's becoming a little more clear. Once the ledge came out, now they got their standing. Now they had a chance to sing. Now they weren't in danger anymore. Now they just needed a crane to come and pull them out, but at least they were standing. They at least were on the ledge. So what did they do? They came along and said, we must sing the song of Teshuvah. Why? What did we do to Moshe and Aharon? We ridiculed them. We made fun of them. We lowered their standing. We caused the people to hate them. We caused the people to want to replace them. And therefore, in order to make the tikkun for the avon of bizayon tamidei hachamim, of degrading the rabbis and putting them in the eyes of the people as hated and Chas v'Shalom hungry for kavod and hungry for power and hungry for money. So what do? We are now going to sing about the real Hakamim. They're referring to Moshe and Aharon. Ala Shoshanim. And they refer to them as they really should be. Really, Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble. Like the leaf, like the petals of a Shoshana. It's rach. V'naim k'shoshanim. Did anybody have better midot than Moshe and Aharon? It says, Moshe was the most humble and Aharon was ohevet ha-biriyot. Ohev shalom v'rodev shalom. And all of a sudden, he says to them, martivim ma'asim tovim k'shoshanim. Which this means, teshuvat ha-mishkal. Shir ahavim, like he says, shir yedidot. Shir shel shevach leha'ahivam al-biriyot. What they did earlier was lahasni'am al-biriyot. And now, this tikkun over here was to do the exact opposite. Ulha'ahiv toratam alehem. Before they were making fun of the Torah of Moshe. Korach came along and said, Rabbi, Moshe, if you have a room full of books, you need a mezuzah. Moshe says, of course, what's one thing? You have a door, you need a mezuzah. Does that make sense? I got all these books, and this little parasha is going to make it better. He came along and said, I have a wool garment that's all blue. Do you need to put tzitzit on it? Why not? That's four corners. What do you mean? One blue string is poter the whole garment. If the whole garment is blue, it needs tzitzit. He made fun. Nothing that he said, if you think long enough, made sense. But in the joke of it, when a person makes letzanut, you get a good laugh, you have a wisecrack, and everybody says, yes, the Torah doesn't make any sense. So what they were doing was they were making the Torah, Chas v'Shalom, not pleasing on the people. So this is the tikkun of Korah. That's the simple understanding of our chapter. Ala Shoshanim, it's Tamidei Chachamim that are domeh l'Shoshanim. I saw this, by the way. It's brought down in a sefer called Be'er Yosef, where he writes, V'lachen kishehirhiru akshav teshuvah b'libam, rahash dibam ashir hazeh. This song came to them. Shishir shel shebach lichbod Tamidei Chachamim. Instead of them saying, Madua titnasi'u al kehal Hashem, why are you becoming arrogant over the people?